top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
This is the midday news for today, Monday, March 4th, in the headlines. CCM President Washburn Coffey hopes the DLP administration will not send a 20-person delegation to China to avoid unnecessary expenses and will now publish the secretive MOU signed with China. 5DA.com. President of Guyana, Dr. Irfan Ali, urges CARICOM to create a regional energy plan to meet member states' energy needs and become a net energy exporter. And U.S. President Joe Biden has started making ongoing military airdrops of food and supplies into Gaza. These after the deaths of Palestinians queuing for aid showed the ongoing humanitarian catastrophe. Q90. The news is brought to you. Compliments, Quartz Dominica Limited.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise Imports. Rudolph Thomas.
Your daily reward from the Quartz Ready Cash Money Tree. Every customer is a winner with every loan of $3,000 or more from Quartz Ready Cash. Plus, you get to enter to win a weekend for two at Sandals. No deposit, no collateral needed. All you need is your ID, proof of address, pay slips, job letter, and two references. Visit your nearest Quartz or Ready Cash location today or apply online at www.quartz.com. Get more for 2024 with Quartz Ready Cash. We are ready when you are. Conditions apply.
President of the Concerned Citizens Movement, Washburn Coffey, has revealed ongoing discussions regarding a potential 20-person Dominica delegation to China this month. He further expressed the hope that the Chinese government would cover the expenses associated with the visit. Coffey remains optimistic that rational decision-making will ultimately deter the government from proceeding with incurring expenses on the Dominican people for such a large delegation to China.
It has been mentioned about 20 persons delegation to the Communist Party of China. Let us hope that the Chinese may be paying all of that so that our treasury would be relieved of such an expense. I would hope that the Chinese would be prepared to pay for all the expenses involved in what I refer to as an excursion, party, good time. Nothing to do with where we are in Dominica with regards to our economics and our finances. But it brings a lot of things to the fore, because if we were to go and incur expenses in such an exercise or excursion, it begs the question as to the financing for public services in terms of the hospital, in terms of education, in terms of health generally, and all the other sectors that seem to be suffering as a result of the cash-strapped government, as it seems to be at the moment. So I would hope that good sense would prevail and that the government will not go ahead and incur such expenditure for a 20-person contingent going to China just to celebrate the anniversary of the 20th anniversary of our connection with China.
Coffey underscored the anniversary travel has shed light on various issues, including the Memorandum of Understanding signed between Dominica and China many years ago, but which has still not been published for purposes of transparency and for the information of the people of Dominica, who have the right to know its contents. He laments the lack of transparency regarding this MOU document, which is being kept secret from the public and for citizens to review.
Even more so, and more importantly, it brings to mind the MOU. We were told many years ago that Dominica signed an MOU with the government of China. But where is the transparency? Where is the MOU in black and white so that every one of us as citizens of Dominica could read and divulge and satisfy ourselves that this MOU is an amicable arrangement between the government of China and the government of Dominica. And in the absence of transparency, we have to believe that something may be wrong. Something is wrong. And I am challenging the government, even at this late stage of that 20th anniversary, we the citizens of the Commonwealth of Dominica, we need to be informed in black and white as to what the 20th anniversary of this engagement with China, what it involves in terms of the MOU and Dominica's commitment in terms of that MOU. And that is lacking. And the government need to, at this point in time, come very straight and to inform the citizens of Dominica what is it in it for them and what it is in it for China.
And that was the president of the Concerned Citizens Movement, Washburn Coffee. The regional commitment to fight hunger and malnutrition in Latin America and the Caribbean has made significant progress thanks to the update of the Food Security, Nutrition and Hunger Eradication Plan of the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, CELAC, for the period of 2024 to 2030, known as the CELAC FNS Plans. This update was approved and ratified during the 5th Summit of Heads of State and Government of CELAC, held on March 1st in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. This commitment evidenced Latin America and the Caribbean's significant contribution to accelerating the fulfillment of the Sustainable Development Goals aimed at achieving societies free of hunger, poverty, and inequality in the region. And of course, you can read more on this story on our website, that's www.q95da.com. Prime Minister Roosevelt's character tweets that during the CELAC summit on Friday, he advocated for the organization was foundly to tackle the challenges faced by member countries independently and collectively. He claims that he asserts his belief that CELAC should adhere to its original mandate. Mr. Skerritt reportedly called for support to be extended to Haiti, which continues to grapple with various challenges, including governance, security, and humanitarian issues.
We established CELAC to address matters by ourselves and for ourselves. And I believe that we need to ensure that we keep to that mandate of the establishment of CELAC. We have within the community, Comrade Chairman, our sister nation of Haiti, that has been going through its own challenges for decades now, but more so recently. Haiti needs this community and indeed the global community now more than ever. And we have to be careful that there is not a sense that we have what is called Haiti fatigue. And while we focus on other regions, we appear as a global community to forget that Haiti exists and Haiti needs the support of all of us. Our hope and prayer is that we can provide Haiti with the support that it needs to address the governance issues, the security issues, and the humanitarian issues. And so I'm hoping that in the declaration we can have a very clear message of solidarity and support to our Haitian brothers and sisters.
Mr. Skerritt emphasized the ongoing failure to meet commitments of small island developing states' seeds regarding climate change, even at climate conferences. He called for a dedicated regional climate conference and stressed the need for seeds to demand action from the developed world.
We've had many opportunities to meet as a global community on climate change. We're going to the 30th COP this year. We've had Kyoto commitments made. We've had commitments made in Copenhagen, and we've had commitments made out of the Paris Agreement. We have not seen the fulfillment of any of those promises to the developing world. And every time we go to a conference, there's a new offering, and then we get excited by it, and nothing comes out of it. And I believe that we in CELAC, we need to convene our own conference on climate change and to seek to map out our consolidated view on climate change and what we demand of the developed world with regards to compensation for us. Because going to these conferences is really becoming a waste of time and a very disappointing occasion for those of us who suffer the brunt of the impact of climate change. We're not here talking about textbooks or theoretical matters. We're talking about issues that affect us on a daily basis, caused not by us, but by the developed world. And it is not about pity. It is about compensation, accepting that something has gone wrong. You are the cause of it, and you need to pay up to address the damage that has been caused and continues to be caused to our developing countries.
Prime Minister Roosevelt Skerrit. The Dominica Chess Federation's representatives are presently engaged in the CARICOM 50th Anniversary Classic Team Chess Tournament in Guyana, spanning from March 4th to March 9th, 2024. The Dominica Chess Team consists of two male players, Nicholas Goldberg and Nigel Francis, and two female players, Zadidu Henry and Ayani Kazemi. Larry Thomas accompanies them as the team coach. Dorofin John Baptist is the PRO of the Dominica Chess Federation.
The Dominica Chess Federation departed for Georgetown, Guyana on March 3rd, where the Guyana Chess Federation is hosting the inaugural CARICOM Classic Chess Tournament. This is part of the commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Caribbean community. The tournament is set to run from March 4th to 9th. 2024. The Dominica Chess Team comprises two male and two female players. They are Nicholas Goldberg, Nigel Francis, Zaidu Henry, and Ayani Kazemi, along with Larry Thomas as team coach. Team members were selected based on being the top two finishers in two tournaments hosted by the Dominica Chess Federation last year. These were the 2023 Open Chess Tournament and the 2023 Queen's Gala, which was an all-female competition. Other team members expected to participate in this CARICOM chess tournament are from the Bahamas, Barbados, the Cayman Islands, Guyana, Jamaica, St. Lucia, Suriname, and Trinidad and Tobago. We wish the Dominica team well as they represent us in this regional chess tournament.
And that was Dorothy John Baptist, Public Relations Officer of the Dominica Chess Federation. Fia Lafo certainly created history and made herself, her family and the country proud on Sunday when she became the first Dominican to win a gold medal at a World Athletics competition. She attempted only two attempts to win gold in the women's triple jump at the World Indoor Athletics Championships, now taking place in Glasgow, Scotland. Lafo managed a best of 15.01 meters in her second effort, and she was the sole competitor to go over the 15-meter mark. It was the best jump in the world this year. Lianis of Cuba won silver with a leap of 14.90 meters, and Ana Pelletrio Comparo of Spain won bronze with a mark of 14.75 meters.
It's like loading, you know. I feel like at some point this is gonna hit, and I think right now I'm just like really, really proud. I'm proud to have done what I did. I'm proud of, you know, Aaron is my coach and husband, our work, and I'm so proud to be from this small, beautiful country, powerful country in the Caribbean. I'm so sorry, and I am so grateful. You know, I really hope that today was just an inspiration. Today was just a day that just brought joy to my people. I want them to know how much I love them and how much I appreciate them. I want my DOC and my DAA to know how much I'm grateful and how grateful I am for their love, their support, even their prayers, you know, the people that just reach out and wish me a little good luck. And, you know, this is going to hit. It's probably going to hit at like 2 a.m. in the morning. And I'm going to end up like just sobbing in my pajamas. But until then, all I can say is how thankful I am, for one, the opportunity to represent Dominica, and two, just the joy that I'm feeling right now, and I just feel so lucky.
Women's triple jump gold medalist Fia Lafo. In other news, Guyana's president finally urged CARICOM to develop a regional energy strategy, emphasizing the need for such a plan during the business session. President Ali proposed a forward-thinking approach that considers all energy sources to ensure regional self-sufficiency and mitigate inflationary pressures. His call comes as countries globally commit to reducing emissions by almost half by 2030 and achieving net zero emissions by 2050, prompting a shift towards renewable energy sources. Renewable energy, derived from naturally replenished resources like sunlight, wind, water, movement, and geothermal heat, is central to the region's energy transition. It's projected that by 2050, the CARICOM countries will transition from 19% to 51% electrification, signaling a significant shift towards sustainability. However, energy security remains a pressing concern, exacerbated by hazards like hurricanes and earthquakes that disrupt electricity supplies, posing threats to community security and well-being. Many member states grapple with outdated power plants, fragile electric grids, and heavy reliance on imported oil, compounded by rising costs and geopolitical tensions affecting prices. And on Friday, U.S. President Joe Biden revealed intentions to initiate the first military airdrop of food and supplies into Gaza. This decision follows the tragic death of Palestinians awaiting aid, shedding light on the escalating humanitarian crisis in the densely populated coastal region. These military airdrops have started and are now ongoing.
We need to do more, and the United States will do more.
U.S. President Joe Biden announced on Friday plans for a military airdrop of humanitarian aid into Gaza, where the United Nations says more than 500,000 people, one quarter of the population, are one step away from famine.
In the coming days, we're going to join with our friends in Jordan and others in providing airdrops of additional food and supplies.
Efforts to supply Palestinians with food and medicine have been interrupted by fighting, looting, and Israeli protesters attempting to block trucks entering from Egypt. And the White House on Friday acknowledged just how hard it would be to effectively deliver aid from the air.
There's few military operations that are more complicated than humanitarian assistance airdrops.
Here's White House spokesperson John Kirby.
It is extremely difficult to do an airdrop in such a crowded environment as is Gaza. Very, very densely populated, a lot of people confined to small spaces. So you want to do it in a way that you can get it to as close as you can to the people in need, but not in a way that puts them in any danger.
Kirby said Israel is supportive of the U.S. plan to airdrop food and supplies into the Gaza Strip. Israel's military operation in the Palestinian territory, in retaliation for a surprise attack on October 7th, has sparked a humanitarian crisis in the densely populated Gaza Strip. Other countries, including Jordan and France, have already carried out airdrops of aid into Gaza. Biden's announcement comes a day after Gaza health authorities said Israeli forces opened fire and killed more than 100 people trying to reach a relief convoy near Gaza City.
No IDF strike was conducted towards the aid convoy.
Israel blamed most of the deaths on crowds that swarmed around aid trucks, saying victims had been trampled or run over. An Israeli official also said troops had, quote, in a limited response, later fired on crowds they felt had posed a threat.
That's the media news, and here's a recap of the headlines. CCM President Washburn Coffey hopes the DLP administration will not send a 20-person delegation to China to avoid unnecessary expenses and will now publish the secretive MOU signed with China. President of Guyana Dr. Irvin Lee urges CARICOM to create a regional energy plan to meet member states' energy needs and become a net energy exporter. And U.S. President Joe Biden has started making ongoing military airdrops of food and supplies into Gaza. Days after the deaths of Palestinians queuing for aid showed the ongoing humanitarian catastrophe. The news was brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited.
Right on.
I am Fidison Valman.
Top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95. The Big Station, Q90.